You're listening to the MPIR Movie Club. Movies for your ears.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberrywithnoes.com.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and thank you for listening. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, the listeners, for your donations to Mystery Play Internet Radio. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so important for supporting Mystery Play Internet Radio. We're 100% listener supported now, so your donations are very much needed for the daily operations and for any future expansions. And if you feel like it, please consider pledging through Patreon, www.patreon.com/MPIR. Again, that's www.patreon.com/MPIR. You can set up any amount that you desire to pledge, and you can pledge for as long as you like. Please consider making a pledge through Patreon. And, of course, your monetary donations via PayPal, one-time donations of any amount, will be greatly appreciated. And thank you for donating to Mystery Play Internet Radio. Now back to your programming.
What happened if it isn't Philo Vance?
I beg your pardon? Who said that?
I haven't seen you since you solved the Kettle murder case. How are you?
Well, for the love of... Nick Charles, what are you doing up there? Impersonating a book cover?
Shh. I'm working on a case.
Don't tell me you've gone back to detective work. I thought you had turned respectable. Didn't you get married?
Oh, didn't I? Vance, I married a girl in a million.
I heard it was a girl with a million.
Well, same thing. I've become a California gentleman.
I never heard of such a thing. What are you doing here in New York?
Well, it seems that Clark Gable is making some personal appearances here, which interests my wife. And there's a very good bar at the Ritz, which is all right with me. So we popped into town to play. But would you believe it? Before you could say Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, I stepped right into the middle of a baffling murder mystery, and they put me to work.
Well, you poor fellow, you have my deepest sympathy.
I can use it. Believe me, Vance, this case is a toughie. It all revolves about a tall, thin man. I was standing at the bar of the Ritz one day, reaching for an olive, when a very pretty girl suddenly popped up in front of me and said,
Hello there.
Hello. Another glass. How are you?
You know, we do know each other.
Certainly, we've known each other for years.
Aren't you Nick Charles?
Yeah?
You don't remember me. I'm Dorothy Wynant.
How is your father?
Oh, that's what I came to ask you. He's disappeared. Chris, what are you going to do?
That's what I said I'd do.
Chris, you wouldn't do that.
Nicky. Automatically.
Nicky, put Arthur in here with me tonight.
Oh, yeah?
That knife's missing. I'll look for it in your back.
It's about Julia Wolfe.
Did you kill her?
Gilbert!
Well, why not? You had a perfectly good motive.
How'd you like to have a couple of little murderers for your children?
And maybe I haven't been on a merry-go-round since that day. Are you, anywhere near a solution?
Between you and me, I think so. I got all the suspects together at a dinner party, and then I pulled a fast one. I told them...
And the murderer is right here in this room tonight. He's sitting here at this table.
Are you sure that the murderer is one of that group?
Not absolutely. But I know where to find out.
Where?
Right in there. Now, you watch me. I'm going to dissolve slowly into this book. If you'll stand by, I'll give you the answer.
Hollywood, California, Monday, June 8th. presented from its new home on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood, California. Lux presents Hollywood. Such great personalities as William Powell, Myrna Loy, W.S. Van Dyke, Theda Bara, James Seymour, Minna Gumbel, Porter Hall, and many others will take part in this presentation sent to you by the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, the beauty soap of the stars. Appearing before a distinguished Hollywood audience, Mr. Powell, Miss Loy, and a cast of 18 great players present the play that has broken box office records from coast to coast, The Thin Man. And as producer tonight, we present the director who did The Thin Man on the screen, together with such triumphs as Naughty Marietta, Trader Horn, Rose Marie, I Live My Life, and countless other smash hit pictures, Mr. W.S. Van Dyke. Mr. Van Dyke.
Hello, everybody. Well, it's a great scene at the Lux Radio Theater tonight. In our audience, we have Betty Davis, Jimmy and Lucille Gleason, Bob Armstrong, Ole Olson of Olson & Johnson, Stu Irwin, Jimmy Starr, famous communist, Evelyn Venable, Mr. and Mrs. Leon Schlesinger. Maybe it would interest you on a little inside information on the show we're doing tonight, The Thin Man, and about William Powell and Myrna Loy, who are going to do it for you. As you know, The Thin Man was a best-selling novel by Dashiell Hammett. Hunt Stromberg, down at the studio, MGM, got a hold of it and brought it to me. Woody, he said, if you'll make this picture, I'll buy the story. Well, I read it, and while it was a good enough mystery story, there was something else about the book that struck me. Here was something new and fresh and very charming, a romance between a man and his wife. It's a story of a couple of kids that understood each other and had a blessed confidence in each other. Beneath all the casualness and all the wisecracking, there's a lovely, wholesome relationship, something really deep and sweet and inspiring. Well, we decided to make the picture. Albert Hackett and Francis Goodrich wrote a swell script. William Powell and Myrna Loy played the parts. And how? They played them beautifully, because Powell was just Powell and Loy was just Loy. Both of them wisecracking all the time and clowning right through the picture. I suppose you know that plenty of motion pictures take from 2 months to a year to shoot. We did The Thin Man in 16 days, retakes and all. Of course, it wasn't a pretentious picture. We didn't make it as one. I hate epics. But it is evident that people liked it. It has been very interesting to study out how they could tell this story on the radio. Bill and Myrna have had a lot of fun getting it ready for you, just as they did making the picture. And from the original story, from the original motion picture cast, we have, and are fortunate in having, Minna Gumbel, Porter Hall, William Henry, and Thomas Jackson here tonight. So here we go, with William Powell and Nick Charles, and Myrna Loy as Nora in The Thin Man. Here they come, Bill Powell and Myrna Loy. We're in a fashionable cafe, Momart, New York City. It's Christmas Eve, and the well-appointed dining room is filling rapidly. From the bar comes a good-looking young fellow of about 35, tall, casual, and worldly wise. He's Nick Charles, the well-known private detective, played by William Powell. And he's waiting for his charming wife, Nora, played by Myrna Loy. As he takes his place at the table, a young girl on the other side of the room recognizes him and hurries over.
Pardon. Aren't you Mr. Nick Charles, the detective?
Why, yes, I'm Nick Charles.
I thought I recognized you. My name is Dorothy Wynan.
Oh, yes, how do you do?
Do you mind if I sit down for a
moment? No, but I'm expecting my wife a few minutes. You don't mind explaining your presence to her?
Oh, of course. That's my fiancé over there at the other table.
Oh, well, that makes everything all right, doesn't it? Sit down.
Thank you.
Your name is,
Dorothy Wynan. I'm Clyde Wynan's daughter.
Clyde Wynan, Oh, yes, of course, Your father was having some trouble about one of his inventions a few years ago. I handled the case for him.
I know. That's why I want to speak to you now.
Oh. Well, I'm not practicing anymore, Miss Wynette. You see, I've retired.
Please, Mr. Charles. I need you.
Oh. What seems to be the trouble?
It's Dad. He went away about 3 months ago, and I haven't heard from him. Not a word. I'm worried sick.
Oh, I wouldn't if I were you. After all, he's an inventor. He gets an idea he wants to work on. It's only natural that he should hide away somewhere. He's done it before.
Yes, but never for 3 months.
Did you see him before he left?
No. Mr. McCauley was the only one he spoke to. Well, McCauley and Julia Wolfe. She's Dad's secretary.
Julia Wolfe. Oh, yes, I believe I've met her. And McCauley is your father's lawyer, isn't he?
Yes.
His lawyer and his secretary both speak to him before he leaves, but no one knows where he went.
He wouldn't tell them.
What about your mother? He wouldn't tell her either?
No. Mother and Dad aren't... They haven't seen each other for some time.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't know just what I can do for you. Why don't you speak to McCauley? Maybe he's heard from your father and forgotten to let you know.
Oh, well, I'll call him now.
That's a girl. Let me know how it turns out, will you?
Of course. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I'll be here.
Madam, you can't bring that dog in here. Dogs aren't allowed. I'm sorry, but...
I'll be here. Asta. Asta, come here, boy. Here. Down,
yeah,
boy.
But madam,
down.
It isn't only your dog. We allowed everyone.
Oh, here you are.
Asta. Quiet, Asta. Quiet. Slow, Nora. I hear you brought the dog.
I didn't bring him. He brought me. I think the doorman's mad, Miss.
Madam, I'm afraid you'll have to take the dog outside.
It's all right, Joe. It's my dog and my wife.
You might have mentioned me first.
But, Mr. Charles, are you sure that...
Of course I'm sure. He's well-trained. He'll behave himself.
And nobody might bite someone.
No, only me, Joe. He only bites me.
Yes, he's fussy about what he eats.
Go ahead, Joe. I'll be responsible for him.
Very well, sir. If you say so, sir.
There you are, my dear. See what an influential husband you've got?
You do stand in the door, ma'am.
Mr. Charles.
Oh, yes, Dorothy?
May I introduce my fiancé, Andy Reed, Mr. Charles?
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Any luck, Dorothy?
Yes, he's just around the corner.
Your father?
No, Mr. McCauley.
We're going to see him now.
Oh, fine.
Miss?
Yes, my dear? Oh, I beg your pardon. Miss Wynette, Mr. Reed, my wife.
How do you do? I'm sorry we have to rush, but you'll excuse us, Mr. Charles.
Of course.
We're to Normandy for a couple of weeks. Why don't you drop around?
Thanks, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye, Mrs. Charles.
Goodbye. Pretty girl.
You like blondes.
You got tights?
Only you, darling. Lanky brunettes with wicked jaws.
Who is she?
Dorothy Wynan, daughter of Clyde Wynan. I worked on a case for her father. Some nut wanted to kill him.
Charming. What's the matter now?
Wynan's disappeared. Dorothy's afraid something happened to him.
Has anything happened to him?
My darling wife. How do I know? Funny, though. That secretary of his ought to know something.
Secretaries usually do. Who is she?
Julia Wolfe. Smart girl, Julia. I always suspected she had some kind of hold on Wynan. That's why he kept her on.
Maybe you ought to give her a ring.
What for?
Oh, just to say hello.
Maybe.
Want a nickel?
No, I've got one. I'll be right back. Hello? I want Skylar, 40962. No, Skylar. That's right, 40962.
Hello? Yes, Julie Wolfe speaking. Who? Oh, hello, Mr. Charles. Yes? What was it you wanted to... Oh, no, I don't. He didn't tell me. Not a word. I'm sorry. Well, that's all right. Goodbye.
Morelli.
Coming. Well, who was that?
Nick Charles.
The detective?
He wanted to know where Wynand was.
Oh, yeah? Why?
He didn't say.
Did anyone see Wynand come here that night? The night you and him had the scrap?
I don't know.
Oh, no? Well, I guess I'll scram.
Wait a minute, Morelli. Where are you going?
Oh, taking a little stroll, that's all. If Nick Charles is going to pop up around here, I want to be far away when he does.
Oh, don't be a fool, Morelli.
Fool, huh? Say, listen, sister, I got a record 9-inch and to come face to face with no Dick.
Sit down, Morelli. You need money, don't you?
Yeah. What about it? You got some?
Plenty. I'm Wynan's secretary.
Oh, yeah? What do you mean by that?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Your friend Pierre serves good dinners, Nick.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You still didn't tell me what Julia Wolfe had to say.
Nothing. She didn't know where he was, that's all. Finished?
Finished.
Let's get out. We'll grab a cab and get back to the hotel.
Ready and willing. Where's my purse? Come on, Esther.
Joe, call me cab.
Hello? Hello? Asta, be quiet. Stop it. Hello? Yes? Who is it? Oh, he is. I see. Thank you. Oh, Nick?
Yeah?
It's Mr. McCauley. He's on his way up.
McCauley? I wonder what he wants.
Isn't he Wyman's lawyer?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some news.
Well, he ought... Say, you're worrying an awful lot about this business. Forget it.
I'll open it.
I beg your pardon.
I'm Mrs. Charles. Come in, Mr. McCauley.
Hello, McCauley.
Oh, hello, Charles. Well, how are you?
Fine. Sit down.
Thanks. Dorothy told me you were here. I took the liberty of coming to see you.
Of course.
Charles, what's Mimi up to?
Mimi? Oh, Dorothy's mother. Does she have to be up to something?
She usually is, trying one way or another to get money out of Wynette. I wanted to find out if you were, sleuthing for her.
I haven't been a detective 4 years.
Oh, you don't say.
Oh, my wife's father died and left her a lumber mill, the narrow gauge railroad, and a couple of other things. I'm looking after them.
I see.
What's all the fuss about? Is Wynette in hiding?
You know as much about it as I do. I haven't seen him in 3 months. He sends word through Julie Wolf when he wants money. I give it to her, and she gives it to him.
Mine? Hello? Oh, just a moment, please. It's for you, Mr. McCauley. Your office.
Oh, thank you. Hello? What? He is? Well, where is he? Oh, very well. Well, he's back in town.
Mr. Wynan?
Yes, thank heaven. He's waiting for me now. Well, I've got to rush. I'll tell you, it's no joke working for a man like that. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Charles. Goodbye, Charles.
Hello?
Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Almost Christmas, darling.
Is that a hint? You can drop it. You get your present at breakfast, not a minute before.
Beast. You know, Nick, I've been thinking. It's funny the way Wyant popped up all of a sudden.
Yes. Wasn't it?
You think there's anything behind it?
Why should there be?
Well, I don't know. It just strikes me as being funny, that's all. You're nearer than I am, darling.
Hello? Speaking. Oh, hello, Dorothy. What? What? When? Oh, I see. Well, yes, of course I'll be here.
What is it, darling? Darling, what is it?
Julia Wolf has just been murdered.
Listening to William Powell and Myrna Loy and the story of the Thin Man from the stage of the Lux Radio Theater in Hollywood Boulevard. Before we go on with the story of Nick and Nora, we want to take you on a quick tour of Hollywood.
Lobby of the Hotel Roosevelt, where stars and newcomers gather. A young actress just breaking into pictures is telling her friend of her success.
Well, there's one thing. I've got one of the best managers in Hollywood, and that means a lot. Oh, but the rules he's laid down for me.
Gee, what do you mean, rules?
Well, you'd think I was going into training for the Olympics. I've got to lose 5 pounds. I've got to take lessons in singing and diction, and of course my complexion's got to be perfect. I've got to be more careful than ever not to get little blemishes or enlarged pores and what they call cosmetic skin. Thank goodness I know enough to use Lux toilet soap regularly, the way everybody around here does.
9 out of 10 beautiful Hollywood screen stars use Lux toilet soap, and have for years. Here's what the famous Claudette Colbert has to say. When I tell people how simple my complexion care is, they always seem surprised. I use cosmetics, of course, but I always use Lux toilet soap to guard against cosmetic skin. It's easy to keep skin lovely my way.
And now on with the show of the Thin Man.
Wow.
An hour has gone by since Nick heard about the murder of Julia Wolf. In the living room of their suite at the hotel, Nick and Nora are listening to the radio. A news reporter is broadcasting the latest developments of the case.
And here's the latest news of the Julia Wolf murder. The police have found out that the beautiful blonde secretary was a gangster's girl and is spreading the dragnet for one Joe Morelli, said to be hiding out somewhere in the city. In Paris today, the Chamber of Deputies...
Never mind the Chamber of Deputies. Joe Morelli, that's what I wanted to know about. Well, did you get any more information out of headquarters?
As much as they had. Julia Wolf was shot and killed about 9 or 9.30. Body discovered on the floor of her living room a little after 11.
Who discovered it?
That'll surprise you. Mimi Winant.
Dorothy's mother?
Right.
What was she doing there?
I don't know.
Where's Clyde Winant?
Still living.
Missing? But Macaulay was going to see him. They had an appointment.
Well, I spoke to Macaulay. Winant never showed up. Nobody knows where he is.
It's going to be pretty tough on Dorothy, isn't it?
Meaning what?
Meaning that it looks as if Clyde Winant skipped one appointment in order to keep another with Julia Wolf.
You think he killed her?
Oh, it's just a guess. You're the detective around here, darling.
That's Dorothy. She said you wanted to see me.
Well, come in, Dorothy.
Thank you. Is anyone here?
That's Nora. Have a seat.
Oh. Hello, Dorothy. I'm sorry for breaking in on you like this.
Oh, that's all right. We're used to it.
Anything wrong?
Julia Wolf is dead.
Yes, we know that.
Here's the gun she was shot with.
What are you trying to tell me? That you did it?
Yes. I hated her. She kept me from seeing my father. I went down there to ask her where he was. She wouldn't tell me. I shot her.
Where did you hit her?
Why, in the heart.
Pretty good shot you are. What did she do?
She fell down.
Did she make any sound? Didn't scream?
I don't know.
Which way did she fall?
She fell over backwards.
Oh, yes? People fall toward a shot, you know, not back from it. I knew you were lying.
Oh.
All right, come on now, brace up. Where did you get this gun?
I bought it in a pawn shop.
I thought so. Why did you say you did it? Whom are you trying to shield?
Oh, please, don't ask me.
You've got to tell me.
Nick, let me handle this, will you? Dorothy, look at me. Nick is trying to help you. Why don't you help him? You were trying to shield your mother, weren't you?
No.
Your father, then. Dorothy.
Yes. My father.
Why do you think he did it?
Mother was the first one to find Julia Wolf. She saw something in Julia's hand and she took it.
What was it?
A watch chain. It belonged to my father.
So you think your father did it?
I don't know.
Did your mother turn the chain over to the police?
No, she kept it. She didn't tell them anything about it.
But she showed it to you.
Yes.
Why did your mother go to Julia Wolf's apartment in the first place?
She went to ask for money.
Oh, money again, huh?
Yes? Oh, have them come up, please.
Who is it?
Dorothy, I wonder if you'd mind waiting in the bedroom.
Of course.
It'll be only a minute.
Well, Nick?
It's Mimi Winant.
Alone?
She's never alone. Dorothy's brother is with her. Screwy college kid. And, some guy by the name of Chris Jorgensen.
Jorgensen? Who's he?
Macaulay told me about him. A hanger-on type. I think he's after Mimi's dough.
But she hasn't any.
Maybe that's why she wanted to get some from Julia.
I'll take it. Hello.
Nick, how old are you?
Fine. Come in, Mimi.
Thank you, Nick. This is my son, Gilbert.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
And Mr. Chris Jorgensen, he's an old friend of mine.
How do you do? How do you do?
Sit down. Sit down, my wife.
How
Mrs.
do you
do? Winant, Gilbert Winant, and Mr. Jorgensen.
How do you do?
Well, Mimi?
Nick, I've never been in such a state in my life. You know, of course, that I was the one who found Julia Wolf.
So we've heard.
Oh, my dear, it was terrible. I walked in and there she was, lying dead on the floor.
I meant to ask you, Mother, was there much blood?
Gilbert, don't be so morbid.
But I'm interested in murders. You know, Mr. Charles, I formed a theory about this one already.
How so?
In my opinion, the man who did it...
Gilbert, be quiet. You don't know anything about it.
Oh, but I do.
Be quiet.
You were saying, Mrs. Winant,
about finding Julia Wolf. I was simply petrified, and such a mystery. Clyde Winant's crazy, absolutely crazy to stay away at a time like this. No wonder the police think he had something to do with it.
What do you think?
Oh, I know he didn't, but I wish I could find him. I have something very important to tell him. And Macaulay won't help at all. He thinks I just want money.
Well, don't you?
Oh, Nick, you're always teasing.
Mrs. Winant, were you alone when you found Julia Wolf?
Why, of course I was. Wasn't Mr. Jorgensen with you?
I? Certainly not.
I don't know anything about it. The first word I had that Julia Wolfe was dead was when Mrs. Wyman called me at my club.
Oh, she called you?
Yes.
Why?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, let's not even talk about it. The thing to do is to find Clyde. And that's what I've come to you for, Nick. You will help me find him, won't you?
I'm afraid I can't, Mimi.
Oh, Nick, please.
Now, Mimi, there are 1,000 detectives in New York. Hire one of them.
But Clyde knows you. All you have to do is to get in touch with him and tell him that Mimi says everything is all right, but that I've got to see him.
I tell you again, I don't want any part of it.
Is that final?
Final.
Well, if that's the way you feel...
He'll turn up. You just help all you can. Give the police every possible assistance.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing in particular.
Oh. Well, we'll say goodnight.
Good night. I'm sorry I can't help you, Mimi.
Hello. Is this the Normandy Hotel? I want to speak to Mr. Charles. Yeah, Nick Charles. Hello, Mr. Charles. Say, I'm sorry I woke you up. But, Mr. Charles, I'd like to lay a proposition before you. It's about the murder of Julia Wolfe. Well, what's the difference who I am? Well, wait a minute. All right. Wait a minute. Don't hang up. I'll tell you who I am. But you got to keep it under your hat. I'm Al Nunheim. Yeah. Nunheim. Now, listen, I know who murdered Julia Wolfe, see? Sure I do. And I'll spill it to you for $5,000. I'll tell you how I know. Because I was outside of her apartment when she was shot. And I saw the one who did it. And I'll spill it to you when I get... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, I can't talk now. I'll call you again.
Hello? Hello? Hello, are you still there? Hello. Well, for the...
Now what, Don?
I don't know. I'm crank, I guess. He hung up. And you better get back to bed and get some sleep.
Nick. Nick. Are you asleep? I want to talk to you.
That's jolly.
Don't you think you'd like to go back to detecting once in a while just for the fun of it?
Can't you get to sleep?
No. Everybody says you were a grand detective.
They were kidding you.
I'd like to see you work.
Tomorrow I'll buy you a whole lot of detective stories.
Oh, that poor girl's in an awful spot.
There's nothing I can do to help her.
She thinks you can. It wouldn't hurt you to find out if you could, would it?
Well, darling... My guess is that Wynant killed Julia and Dorothy knows it. And the police will catch him without my help. Now, please put out the light. I'm tired.
Oh, all right. But I'm mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Nick.
Hmm?
Did you hear a knock?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Astor. You want to answer it, Nick?
Oh, good Lord.
All right, stay in bed. I'll do it myself. Well?
Mr. Charles here.
Yes?
I gotta talk to him right away.
What about?
What's going on? What's going on?
There's someone to see you, Nick.
That's great. I was afraid I'd have to go to sleep. Come in.
Yeah.
How about a chair, Mr.?
Stay where you are, both of you. I got you covered, so don't move.
A stick-up?
No, it ain't a stick-up. But I gotta talk to you, Mr. Charles. I want you to tell me something, and I want you to give it to me straight. You get me?
Do you mind putting that gun down? My wife doesn't care, but I'm a very nervous person. Thank you. All right, shoot. What's on your mind?
You don't need to tell me you're tough. I heard about you. I'm Joe Morelli.
I've never heard about you.
I didn't bump off Julia.
All right, you didn't.
I haven't seen her in 3 months. We were all washed up.
Why tell me?
Well, I wouldn't have any reason to hurt her. She was always on the up and up with me. But that dirty little rat, Nunheim, well, he got sore because she liked me and hated him. So he put the finger on me.
That's all very swell, brother, only you're peddling your fish in the wrong market. I've had nothing to do with it.
Now, listen. The boys used to say that you were okay, a square guy. Now, that's why I'm here. What's the law doing to me? Do they think I did it? Or is it just something else to pin on me?
I'd tell you if I knew, but I'm not in on this. Ask the police.
Yeah, that'd be very smart. The boys would love to have me come in and ask questions. They'd like it right down to the end of their blackjacks. Now, I came to you on the level. The boys say you're on the level. Be on the level.
I'm on the level. If I knew anything, I'd be...
Who's that?
I don't know. This is your party.
Open up. Open up. Here's the police.
The police? You dirty two-timer.
Look out, Nora.
Oh!
Give me that gun.
You rat, I'll show you.
Drop that gun. Drop it.
You double cross me, will you?
Come on, drop it. Give it to me. Give me the gun.
Grab it. Let me go. Let me go, I said.
I'll take that gun.
Thanks, officer. You almost had me.
Get some water, Joe.
Nora. Are you all right, Nora?
I'm Inspector Gill of the Homicide Squad.
You're in a good place, Inspector.
Who's that woman on the floor?
My wife.
This guy's shooter?
No, he tried to shoot me. I socked her in the jaw to get her out of the line of fire. I guess I hit her too hard. Nora.
Oh.
Look at me, Nora. Are you all right, darling?
Oh. You darn fool. You didn't have to knock me out. I knew you'd take him, but I wanted to see you do it.
She's all right.
Okay, Slattery. Take Morelli downstairs.
Come on, Morelli. Don't push. Come on. I said don't push.
How'd you people have to pop in, Inspector?
We hear this is getting to be a sort of a meeting place for the Wynans family. So we figured we'd stick around in case the old man himself shows up. Then we seen Morelli sneak in, and we decided to come up. And it was pretty lucky for you, too.
Yeah.
Morelli, a friend of yours?
I never saw him before.
What's he want of you?
Wanted to tell me he didn't kill Julia Wolf.
What's that to you?
Nothing.
What did he think it was to you?
Ask him. I don't know.
I'm asking you.
Keep on asking.
Oh, so you're going to keep mum, huh? All right, Mr. Charles. I won't bother you tonight, but I'll be in tomorrow morning, and I'll have plenty of things to ask. Good night.
Thank you, Inspector Gill. Next time you come, try to stay longer. Nick, wake up. It's Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Look, here's a telegram for you. It just came.
Open it, will you? Probably a touch from somebody. Well?
Nick.
What is it?
It's from Clyde Wynans. Listen. Will you take charge of investigation on Julia Wolf murder? Communicate with Herbert McCauley. Clyde Wynans.
Where's it from?
Philadelphia. Then he didn't do it, did he, Nick?
I don't know. Communicate with McCauley, huh? All right, we'll ask him up here this morning.
There you are, McCauley. What do you think?
Well, he wants you to handle the case.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, what are the chances of you doing it?
Slim.
Oh, please, Nick.
Quiet, dear.
I wish you would, Mr. Charles. Would it help any if I could persuade him to meet you?
It might.
I had word from Wynant myself last night. He gave me a code message to insert in the newspapers in case I wanted to get in touch with him.
It wouldn't do any harm to put it in.
I'm sure you could clear this up.
Wynant will only come back. It doesn't look well he's staying away at a time like this.
Yes? Oh, just a minute. For you, Mr. McCauley. Police department.
Police department? Hello? Where? In Allentown. Yes. Well, when's the next train? Right. I'll get that.
Well?
Wynant's tried to commit suicide. They want him to go down and identify him.
Well, I guess this changes the whole story, doesn't it? That looks like an admission of guilt.
I had such hopes. I thought if you got on this case... Well, it's no use thinking about it now. Well, I'm sorry to have wasted so much of your time. You'll excuse me, won't you?
Of course.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that's that.
What's the matter with you?
All the mystery's all gone. And I wanted you to find out who did it.
Maybe I will.
But why not?
I don't believe he did it.
Why don't you?
No reason. That's hunch. But I'm going to find out. Come on, Dr. Watson. We're going places. I want to speak to Inspector Gill.
Man to man, Mr. Charles. Are you working on this case?
Man to man, Inspector Gill, I'm not.
But he's interested.
I don't mind telling you. I'd rather have you in on the right side.
You mean not on Wynant's side?
I'd rather have you working with us than against us.
So would I.
It's a bargain, then. Do you know about the case?
I read the papers. What about the suicide?
Oh, that's a phony. The men didn't even have to go down.
Yeah, I thought it might be. From now on, they're going to think that every thin man over 6 feet with white hair is Winant.
Do you think that Winant did it?
It looks like he planned something, and he shut up his apartment and his shop. But there's nothing yet to clinch it.
50 will get you 100 that Winant didn't do it.
Who's your candidate?
I haven't got that far yet. I don't think that everything points to Winant. What about the alibis?
They're all okay. Mrs. Winant, the boy, Dorothy, McCauley, even Morelli.
What about Jorgensen?
Oh, I'll check on that. Well, I'm afraid this is kind of dull for you, Mrs. Charles.
Dull? I'm sitting on the edge of my chair.
Frankly, I'm stunned. I don't know what to do next. What about you, Charles?
Me? No, but I've got a hunch.
What is it?
I got a call last night. I thought it was from a crank, but I've changed my mind. Whoever it was knew something, and I've got a feeling I'll hear from him again. What time is it?
Almost 10. Still waiting to hear from the crank?
And how? Here, give me that quick. Hello? Yeah? Ed, this is Nick Charles. Who? Can't hear you. I said I can't hear you. Have to speak louder.
I can't speak any louder. Say, this is Al Nunheim again. You know, I called you last night.
Hey, listen. Are you still interested in that proposition? Yeah, huh? All right, then. Now, here's the dope. And get this straight. The man who killed Julia Wolf... Gil, you think Winant killed Julia Wolf and Nunheim?
Right.
Why?
Two reasons. First off, Mimi Winant came across with a watch chain. She plucked off Julia's body.
Oh, she did, huh?
It belonged to Clyde Winant.
Yeah. What's the second reason?
A pip. The bullet that killed Nunheim came from the same gun.
That's all right, Inspector.
All right. It's perfect. Clyde Winant is guilty of both those murders.
Maybe.
What?
50 will still get you 100. I say Winant's innocent.
You can say what you want. But I'm spreading a dragnet for that guy over every town in these United States. And I'll get him, too.
Calling all cars, calling all cars, cover all roads, leaving city, pick up Clyde Winant, tall, thin man, last seen wearing dark blue suit, Clyde Winant, thin man.
You think they'll find him, Nick? He must be in New York.
He probably is.
Oh, it's getting me down. I saw Dorothy today.
Yeah? What?
She's broken off her engagement.
What for?
Oh, don't ask me. She was a little hysterical. Something about not wanting to ruin her fiancé's life. Daughter of a murderer and all that.
Oh, poor kid. Well,
see you later, darling.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going to take Oscar for a walk.
He's just been for a walk.
We're going sightseeing, aren't we, Esther?
Nick, what are you up to?
I've got a hunch. I'm going down to look at wine and shop. I'm going to find out why it's closed.
Well, why shouldn't he close it? He went away.
He went away lots of times when I knew him, but he never closed his shop. I've got to hunt something up.
You mean he might be hiding there?
I don't know, but this thing's got my goat. I've got to find out.
Nick, I won't have you going down there at this hour of the night. He's a crazy man. He might kill you.
It'll be all right. I've got Asta to protect me.
All right. Go on. Go on. See if I care. But it's a dirty trick bringing me all the way to New York just to make me a widow.
You wouldn't be a widow long.
You bet I wouldn't.
Not with all your money.
You dog.
Goodbye, darling.
Nicky, take care of yourself, won't you?
Sure, I will.
Don't say it that way. Say it as if you meant it.
Why, I believe that every woman cares.
I don't care. I'm just used to you, that's all.
Sure. So long, darling.
Come on, Esther. Come on, come on.
Goodbye. Call me, darling, please. I'll be waiting to hear from you. Asta. Asta, if you let anything happen to him, you'll never wag that tail again.
Listening to the Lux Radio Theater's production of The Thin Man, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy, with the music under the direction of Louis Silvers. This is W.S. Van Dyke speaking. We have here tonight the man who wrote the great picture, Lawyer Man, for Bill Powell here. He's a producer, too, but just on the writing end. He's done many great pictures, 42nd Street, The Gold Diggers, King of Burlesque, and lots of others, including an original musical, Ladies in London, which you'll be seeing soon. And here he is, the man whose name you'll see on the screen before the picture starts, one of Hollywood's greatest picture writers, James Seymour. Come here, Jim.
Thanks, Woody. I've been a movie writer for 10 years. That's the first kind word anybody has said to me.
Listen, Jim. The average person thinks a movie writer is a fellow that sits by himself at a typewriter, hammers out a lot of dialogue, and hands it in. Would you like to correct that impression?
I certainly would. Nobody works alone and by himself to make a picture. It's a matter of constant cooperation between producer, director, technician, actors, and the writers. Some of the best story ideas come out of the conferences.
Jim, how many writers would you say there are on an average picture?
Plenty. Believe it or not, I've seen pictures where there were more writers than actors. If all the people who contributed to the story got screen credit, it would look like a page from the telephone directory.
You've written on both the stage and screen, Jim. Tell the folks how they're different.
Well, pictures have less talk, but they tell more in less time. Like concentrated foods, all the good and none of the waste. In the theater, everything must be brought to the audience. On the screen, you take your audience wherever the camera can go. And here's another important point that comes right back to your Lux Radio Theater. On the stage, the star just enters. But on the screen, she's introduced with a big close-up, a picture of the star's face many times larger than life-size. Every time a movie star's complexion is mentioned in this Lux Radio Theater, I think of those close-ups. Those stars just have to be beautiful. And they found that Lux Toilet Soap helps them look their best. Producers know it, too. And that's why it's the official soap in all the great studios in Hollywood. Right, Woody?
Right on the nose, Jim. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for asking me. Good night.
Good night, Jim.
We pause for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Thin Man. Nick is on his way to Clyde Wynan's deserted laboratory. In a dark and desolate section of the city, his cab veers sharply around a corner and pulls up in front of a gloomy, old, rickety building.
Say, mister, are you sure this is the place you wanted?
Looks like it. Come on, Esther, jump. How much owe you?
$1.20. Or do you want me to wait?
No, never mind.
Oh, that's good. You know, this ain't no neighborhood to be in at 2 o'clock in the morning. I want to get out of here.
There you are.
Thanks. So long.
Come on, Esther. Come on, what's up with you?
Hello.
Nora, what are you doing here?
I beat you down. I want to go with you, Nick.
Now, listen.
No. You're not going in that place alone, and that settles it. Now, get out that skeleton key of yours and open that door. I'm here to stay.
All right. Come on. Just test.
Darn. Nice neighborhood Wynan's picked out for his laboratory. I can almost hear the chains rattling. Do you believe in ghosts, Nicky?
There we are. Come in. Be quiet.
Nick, it's dark in here.
Yeah, I've got a flashlight. We'd like to close the door. Shh. Asta, shut up. Go on, Nora.
Which way?
Straight ahead. Could you get the layout of the place?
Looks awfully big to me. You can't even see into the corner.
And don't let the shadows frighten you.
Who's frightened?
Now, hold it.
What's the matter?
This looks like Wynan's work table.
More like a slab in a morgue. Look, Nick. There's a cement floor all around.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of weight goes on that table. Come on.
Where to now?
There's an old desk over there by the wall. I want to take a look at it.
What do you expect to find?
Darling, if I knew what I'd find, I wouldn't be...
Nick.
Shh.
What was it, Nick?
It's just a loose board, I guess.
It sounds like somebody was walking over that way.
Oh, just your imagination. There's no one in here but us.
No? What about Wynan? His workshop. Why couldn't he be hiding out here? What's that?
It's Asta. Asta, come here. He's scratching on the cement around the work table. Asta, stop it. Stop it. Did you hear what I said, Asta?
Nick, look at him. He's after something. I've seen him scratch the ground like that when he was looking for...
Shh. Asta. Asta. Nora, look. Look at this. New cement, listen.
There's an iron bar on the table. I just saw it.
Here it is.
Ah, good. Now, if I just knock a hole in that cement, we'll find out what's under there.
Oh, Nick, I'm scared.
Asta, quiet. You can keep away, Nora.
Asta, come here.
Once more. There she goes. I'm through the cement.
Nick.
Asta, get away from there. Get away.
Nick, what is it? What's he after?
We must get Inspector Gill here.
What's under there?
A body. Must have been there for weeks.
Oh, Nick.
Reporters, you'll get your story as soon as I can give it to you. Until then, you got to leave this alone. Come on now, get out. Those reporters are enough to drive a guy nuts. Well, you were right, Nick. It was a body. A skeleton, rather, buried in lime. I wonder what Wynan had against this one.
Did you find any clothes?
Yeah, but no identification on them. Just a silver belt buckle with the initials DWR.
DWR. Who was that?
I got a good idea. That case you worked on, the guy who threatened to kill Wynan, what was his name?
Oh, Rosewater.
Yeah, Rosewater. He said Wynan tried to steal an invention, didn't he?
Yes, but we figured it was just blackmail.
Just the same, Wynan wouldn't mind having him out of the way, would he? And according to the doc, the body's been there at least a couple of months.
Hmm. That's just about the time Wynan closed the shop.
Right.
Did you put the skeleton under the fluoroscope yet?
Half an hour ago. We found the bullet he was killed with and something in the leg bone. An old piece of shrapnel.
Shrapnel?
Yeah. Why?
Shrapnel in the leg bone. He probably limped.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. Well, so long, Inspector. I'm going to pick up my wife, take her home. It's been a long night.
So long. Give her my best, will you?
Right.
Where are we going, Nick?
Back to the hotel, my sweet. Pack our bags and take a nice trip somewhere.
A trip? Oh, no.
My soul, woman. I gave you 3 murders and you aren't satisfied.
I want you to stay and find Wynan.
I did find him.
What do you mean?
He was down in the shop.
Nick.
It was his body that was buried there.
Wynan's body?
Yeah.
But they all said it was Rosewater.
Oh, that's what they think.
What makes you so sure it's Wynan's body?
Several things. The clothes, for instance. They were carefully preserved. And the body was just carefully destroyed. The person who killed him counted on one thing, that all skeletons look alike.
Well, don't they?
Sure. But I remember that Wynan had some shrapnel in his shin. They found it under the fluoroscope.
How long has he been dead?
A couple of months, anyway.
Then he couldn't have committed those other murders.
Smart girl.
Wynan's dead. Does Dorothy know?
No, nobody but you. I didn't even tell Gil.
Why not?
I want to lie low till I get the whole dope. I don't want to go off half cocked.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get the real murderer. I've got an idea. Want to see me take him?
Yes.
You got a nice evening dress?
Oh, I've got a Lulu. What?
I'm going to have a party, a dinner party. Everything from Russian caviar to camembert cheese, an orchestra behind the palms, subdued lighting.
What is this?
And I'm going to invite all of the suspects.
The suspects? They won't come.
Oh, they'll come. I'll have Gil issue the invitation.
Nick, who's going to be there?
Everybody. You, me, Dorothy, Eric's fiancé,
His name's Andy.
Right. Macaulay, Mimi, Gilbert, Jorgensen, and Morelli.
Oh, darling, what a lovely party.
Everybody?
Mr. Charles, what is the meaning of this?
The meaning of what, Mimi?
Why were we all rounded up like common criminals and brought to the sitter?
Yes, Charles.
To eat, Mimi, and talk. Will everyone please be seated? Dorothy here.
Thank you.
Andy, next to her, please.
Oh, but Mr. Charles, we...
Please?
Very well.
Mimi, on the other side of Andy. Mr. Jorgson, over there, please.
Very kind, Mr. Charles.
Not at all. Mr. Macaulay next.
Of course.
Morelli?
What?
Right where you are.
Now, say, listen.
Sit down. Gilbert, you can sit just opposite Mama.
Mr. Charles, I have a theory.
We'll listen to it later. Inspector Gill, you and your men will stand by the door, please.
Sure.
Fine. Now, Nora, if you'll sit here by me.
Delighted, Mr. Charles.
A pleasure, Mrs. Charles. Now, we're all ready to begin.
Will you please pass the celery, Mrs. Wynan?
No, I will not. I demand to know why we are here.
Before dinner? All right. I've got some important news. I've seen Wynan.
You marvel?
I never... Certainly, I mean it.
That's nothing. I saw him myself.
Yes, Mimi? When?
Last night. He came to see me in my apartment.
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He didn't say very much. He wanted to know how I was and how the children were.
I'm afraid you're lying, Mimi. You see, I really did see Wynan last night.
Are you kidding?
No.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you hold him?
Because I found out for certain that he didn't commit the murders.
Well, you know that? What's that's ridiculous.
Now, wait a minute. Let him have his say.
Thank you. Morelli, you knew Julia. Was she jipping Wynan? Taking dough on the sly?
Well, she don't say she is, but I figure she is, yeah.
Thank you. Now I'll tell you why I know Wynette didn't commit those murders. 3 months ago, Wynette found out that Julia was cheating him and was splitting with some man. He went to find the man, and he did. That man was desperate. He knew that he was caught dead to rights. And at prison, staring him in the face, he took the only way out. He killed Wynette.
Oh.
It's terrible to tell you this way, Dorothy, but your father's dead.
Dead?
He's been dead for 3 months.
Dead. Oh.
Oh, darling, don't cry.
Oh.
Oh, I know it's terrible, but isn't it really better this way?
Oh, Andy. Andy.
You'd better take her home, Andy.
Yes, of course. Yes. Come on, darling.
Let them out, Inspector.
Oh, open up.
Oh, don't cry, darling, please. It'll be all right now.
Oh, can you be Eddie?
Oh, this is absurd. How can Clyde be dead? You said yourself you saw him last night.
So I did. I saw him lying buried in his shop.
You mean that body?
Was Wynan.
Perfectly absurd.
And the murderer is right here in this room tonight. He's sitting at this table.
What? Who is it?
I don't know. But I thought if we all had a little get-together, we might be able to find out. I'll tell you as much as I know. This murderer is a very clever man. He planned the whole thing beautifully. After he killed Wynan, he wired Macaulay using Wynan's name and told him to shut up the shop. Then he took Wynan's body and buried it in the shop with another man's clothes to throw us off the track. He even put a belt buckle with an R on it, hoping that we'd think it was Rosewater, an old enemy of Wynan's who dropped out of sight years ago. Morelli.
Yeah?
Would you mind holding your knife the other way? You're worrying Gilbert.
Oh, excuse me.
If that knife is missing, I'll look for it in your back.
I'll help you look. Well, after our hero had killed Wynan, he got a brilliant idea. He realized that he and Julia could still collect money. Wynan was supposed to be on a trip. No one knew where. So our dinner guest wrote letters to Macaulay, signing Wynan's name, so that Macaulay would continue to send the money to Julia. He even telephoned Macaulay. Do you remember Macaulay? The first day that you came to see me, he telephoned that he was in town.
Well, it must have been Wynan. I should have known if it weren't his voice.
Oh, he was clever about that. He called when you were out. Now, that same afternoon, Julia telephoned him. She said that you were coming, Mimi, to ask about Wynan. He got terrified. He was afraid that Julia would break down and tell. So he went to Julia and killed her. And left Wynan's watch chain in her hand.
Mimi, what is the story about that?
If I ever get...
I don't know.
The guy that did that to Julia, the way it makes sense.
I hope you're well.
Quiet, please. His plan was still working beautifully. The only hitch was a man named Nunheim, who had found out something. So our hero bumped him off, too. But our hero overlooked just one item. The telegrams, wires, and telephones were all very well. But no one had seen Wynan. So the murderer picked on poor Mimi here to strengthen his case. Mimi is the only one at this table who can tell us who the real murderer is. Mimi? Who was it told you to say you'd seen Wynan?
Nobody told me. I did see him.
What did he pay you, Mimi, to stick to that story?
It isn't a story. It's true. I did see Wynan. He's not dead.
You're lying, Mimi. But then you'd do anything for money. You were getting a good price for saying you saw Wynan.
I'm not going to stay here and be insulted.
Sit down. You're getting a good price, Mimi. But don't forget this. Two other people were in with him on this deal. Julia and Nunheim. When he thought they might spill something, he bumped them off. You ought to know darn well that he's not going to take any chances on you. What do you want to do, be next on his list?
No, no.
Then who is he? Who paid you that money?
Macaulay.
Macaulay, you dirty little...
Look out!
I think that'll hold him.
Oh, boy, what a wallet. Hey, nice work, Mr. Charles.
There's your man, Inspector. Mr. Macaulay.
I can't believe it.
What do you want me to do, wrap him up in cellophane? Pick him up and get him out of here.
Come on, boys.
grab him.
Let me get a hand of him.
Nick, you took him. I knew you would.
Yeah, another case like this, and I'd have been a prize fighter.
Oh, Nicky, you're grand. You're glorious.
I'll bet you say that to all the boys.
The Thin Man with William Powell and Myrna Loy. I'm going to get them back out here in a minute to talk to you. As you know, these broadcasts from the Lux Radio Theater are quite an event in Hollywood. And among our many friends here tonight is one of the greatest stars of the silent pictures. I admired her from afar when she was doing such magnificent spectacles as Cleopatra. And I was just an extra. Today, she is the wife of one of our leading film directors. I've known her for many years as a most charming and gracious lady. And I want you to meet her now, Miss Theda Barrett.
Thank you, Woody. Our Hollywood entertainment has certainly developed amazingly since I was making pictures.
Yes, everything's different now.
As you and I know, before pictures grew up and started to talk, we had to translate all emotion into pantomime. Oh, you may think you have trouble today, but do you remember the difficulties we had working with a split screen? We had to express jealousy, hate, love, or devotion, all in pantomime. And at the same time, keep pace as the director guided us with a one, two, three, four, just as a metronome guides a pianist.
Pantomime has always been one of the greatest of arts. And may I say, Miss Vera, I have always thought that you were one of the greatest masters of that art.
Oh, you're very kind, Woody. We worked awfully hard making those pictures. For instance, in making Cleopatra, we had no research department at the studio. I worked myself for months with the curator of Egyptology at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It's great fun, though.
I understand, Miss Barry, you're going to make some radio appearances.
Yes, I am. Oh. And I'm also going to do some motion picture work.
Oh, that's good news.
I'm considering an offer now, running through scripts and ideas. Oh, I just hope everyone will be as happy about another Theda Barrett picture as I am. The public has been very good to me in the past.
And I know they'll be awfully glad to see you again. I'm sure it'll be a great thrill not only seeing you, but hearing your voice. Thanks, Miss Barry, for joining us tonight.
I'm glad I could. Good night.
Hearing Theda Barrett talk of her plans brings to my mind some other plans I've heard discussed in Hollywood this week. Picture people are talking about Charlie Chaplin's recent statement that he will start work on a new picture very shortly. Miss Paulette Goddard will be starred. Chaplin will write and direct, but will not act in it. A disappointment to many of us. Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor are starting a new picture today, and I'm tickled to death that I got the job directing. It's called His Brother's Wife. Speaking of Bob Taylor, there's a lad who is going places. He's got a great future. And sometime in that future, he's going to do Armand to Greta Garbo's Camille. Bill Powell and Myrna Loy here are interested in the making of MGM's picture, The Good Earth. Louise Rayner, who is with them in The Great Ziegfeld, and Paul Muni are the stars. And now Bill Powell and Myrna Loy are coming out on the stage. Arise, Bill, Myrna. Kids, you did a great show. You're really marvelous.
What? No retakes?
No property man.
Yeah, Bill. I'll bet you're glad my property man isn't here. Remember how he used to swat you with a broomstick when you weren't hurrying on the set fast enough?
Yes, that Harry Alves is a great fellow. He's the most independent cuss in the whole picture business.
Listen, Bill. That fellow was with me in the Arctic when we made Eskimo. He was with me in African Jungle when we made Trader Horn. And after a man has handled crocodiles, sharks, pythons, and polar bears, you can't expect him to be afraid of a mere actor.
Yeah, there's only one thing I can ever understand about that picture, Eskimo, Woody. How did they tell you from the polar bears?
He wore rubber.
I wore a hat.
It must be pretty tough, Woody, when you have to plow through swamps, jungles, tropics, and the Arctic. I suppose when you call up and say you're going on location, your wife says, oh, yes, location. Do you want the snowshoes or the snake bite medicine?
Mm. Unfortunately, she doesn't say that. When I say I'm going on location, she just says, you are not. Incidentally, I thought all about that traveling. I thought all about it when the Lux soap people asked me to do this broadcast. Isn't it funny? In the Arctic, soap is something they like to eat. In the tropics, they use soap for money. And here in Hollywood, soap is something that keeps the stars beautiful.
Now, I can see that it keeps Myrna beautiful, Woody, but
When are you going to start using that?
Nice talk, nice talk. But I do use it, that. And that's no kidding. Anyway, thanks for coming up, kid.
Goodbye, Woody.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Before I tell you about next week's show, I'm going to ask our announcer, Mr. Rick, to tell you about more about the cast and about Hollywood studios who are cooperating with us.
Our cast of characters tonight: Nick, William Powell; Nora, Myrna Loy; Mimi, Minna Gondo; Macaulay, Porter Hall; Dorothy, Barbara Luddy; Gilbert, William Henry; Chris Jorgensen, Brett Morrison; Julia Wolfe, Margaret Brayton; Inspector Guild, Thomas Jackson; Morelli, Wally Mayer; Nunheim, Ernie Adams. Our director, W.S. Van Dyke, and our stars, William Powell and Myrna Loy, appeared through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, as did Mr. William Henry, and Porter Hall through the courtesy of Paramount. The musical director of this program, Mr. Louis Silvers, appears through the kindness of 20th Century Fox. And now, here is your producer, Mr. W.S. Van Dyke.
Thanks to all of you in the cast. You did a swell job. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Lux Radio Theater is going to have a great show for you, and believe me, Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler are going to be here to appear in Burlesque. It was a smash hit on Broadway and then a great moving picture. And now it's going to make a marvelous radio vehicle for Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler. I think you'll like it. DeMille will return to the Lux Radio Theater in time to produce Burlesque. And you know he'll give you a great show. I've enjoyed being with you all, and good night.
Columbia Broadcasting System.
Place like this for 3 days, I don't know.
Darling, you don't need mystery. You got something much better, something more alluring.
What?
Me.
You. Aunt Catherine.
The old battle axe?
Shut up. Excuse me, Aunt Catherine. I was talking to the dog. This is Aunt Hattie.
How are you?
Don't mumble, young man. Don't mumble.
How are you?
She's dead.
You're telling me. You got a gun?
No.
What'd you do with it?
I never had one.
Miss Burns has a brother who has a gun.
If that little rat tries to hang anything on me, I'll...
You leave my brother out of this.
Take it easy, take it easy. That's what they want. They want to get you at each other's throats. Just answer what you want to, and don't let them get you.
I can't stand that shyster.
I was beginning to suspect that.
Not yet. Any complaints or suggestions?
Few. You don't scold, you don't nag, and you look far too pretty in the mornings.
All right, I'll remember. Must scold, must nag, mustn't be too pretty in the mornings.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lux Radio Theater brings you William Powell and Myrna Loy in After the Thin Man. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. When Edgar Allan Poe popularized the detective story, he found the great common denominator of American entertainment. Millions of us have stayed up past bedtime to explore the fascinating realm of whodunit, including the President of the United States. And you can find devotees in every walk of life, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, and probably policeman, too. Perhaps we haven't investigated this branch of the drama quite as often as we should in the Lux Radio Theater. But when we do engage a manhunter, we get the very best. Tonight, our play is After the Thin Man, adapted from the MGM picture, and naturally starring the same two players that go with a thin man story, Myrna Loy and William Powell. It's an occasion for great rejoicing, but we also must hang our heads a little, because it's exactly 4 years since Miss Loy was last at this microphone. There's more to the story of After the Thin Man than just the exciting quest of a criminal, because our detective is the extraordinary Nick Charles, and Nick has a lovely wife named Nora. They happen to be very much in love. But even love can't keep Nora from interfering with her husband's business when she has an idea. And Nora is a girl with many ideas. Together they can solve just about any problem you give them. But you don't really need a detective to discover that Lux Flakes is the simple answer to your household problems. It's a deduction that millions of women have made after giving Lux Flakes a trial. Now, if your wits have been thoroughly sharpened and you're ready for anything to happen, we raise the curtain on the first act of After the Thin Man, starring William Powell as Nick Charles and Myrna Loy as Nora. The railroad station in San Francisco. Into the dim maze of tracks rolls a mighty streamliner, sleek and shiny after its mad dash across the country. With a final throb of its powerful engines, it comes to rest. From the gate tumbles a crowd of reporters and photographers. They rush breathlessly up and down the length of the platform, eager to be the first to greet the arriving celebrities, Mr. and Mrs. Nick Charles.
Where's Nick?
He's probably
down.
He's probably in that car over there.
Come on, let's get a statement from him.
Is Nick Charles in this car?
Mr. Charles, two cars back.
Thanks.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Nick.
Hello,
Nick.
Nicky. How does it feel to be home?
You going to stay with us a while now?
I'm from the Chronicle, Mr. Charles.
Hey,
can I have a statement?
Guys, easy, one at a time. Darling, these are the gentlemen of the press. Gentlemen, my wife.
Hello.
How
glad
do you
to
do?
Know you,
Mr.
Charles.
How do you do?
How's about a statement, Nick? Are you going to keep on with your detective work?
No, gentlemen. I've retired. Now on, I'm just going to take care of my wife's money, so I'll have something in my old age.
Oh, you said you'd retired before, but I noticed you took that thin man case in New York.
Yeah, that thin man was a beaut. They're still talking about it.
You'd take a case like that now, wouldn't you?
Not a chance. I just took that to please my wife. She wanted some excitement.
Well, I guess you had it, Mr. Charles.
Oh, it was wonderful. Two men tried to kill him. But he's not going to take any more cases. You can print that.
That's the girl. So long, gentlemen. Come on, darling.
Oh, goodbye. Very
nice to meet you, Charles.
Goodbye. Nice to have met you. Nick, slow down. I can't keep up with you going.
Excuse me, lady. I guess I wasn't looking where I was going.
No, I guess you were.
Hiya, Fingers.
Well, Nick Charles. Well, how are you?
Fine. How's business, Fingers?
Business? Oh, I quit that racket.
sniffed my purse. It's gone.
Oh, that's a shame. Nora, I want you to meet Fingers McCoy. This is my wife, Fingers.
Your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I didn't know she was... Oh, I'm sorry about your purse, Mrs. Charles.
What'll I do, Nick? I know I had it with me.
Oh, it'll turn up. Won't it, Fingers?
I certainly hope so. Sure. Well, so long, Nick. Glad I bumped into you. Goodbye, Mr. Charles.
Goodbye. Nick, I've got to go back to the train.
Oh, I wouldn't bother, darling. Let's get home.
I just can't go off.
Come on now, come on. You don't want to embarrass him, do you?
What do you mean?
Fingers, he's a purse snatcher. Think of his feelings.
A purse snatcher? Well, he must have taken it.
Certainly, but you see, he didn't know you were my wife. You'll get it back in the morning mail, darling. He's a very honest pickpocket.
Oh, Nick, you do know the nicest people.
Hiya, Nick. Welcome home.
Hiya, Bumps. How's the boy?
Never better, Nick. In the pink.
See you around.
A prize fighter, darling?
No, a wrestler.
Oh, a wrestler. Well, that's different.
Hiya, Nicky. What's a good boy?
Well, hello, Slats. How's everything?
I'm doing okay. Glad to see you, pal.
Likewise.
Now, there's a sweet character. He ought to be in jail just to play safe.
He got out last Tuesday.
Oh. Welcome home, Nora. Oh, hello. Thank you.
Nice to see you, my dear.
Thank you very much.
Now, who are those people, darling?
You wouldn't know them. They're respectable.
Oh.
You know, darling, the best thing about going away is coming back home.
I suppose you remember that tonight is New Year's.
I know. Got your keys, darling?
Yeah. I also suppose you've got some ideas on the subject.
Very definite ideas.
I was afraid of that.
I want to lock the doors and plug the bells, cut off the telephone, and crawl into bed for months.
Mrs. Charles, you're a woman after my own heart. I won't be awake at midnight, so I'll kiss you now. Happy New Year, Nora.
Happy New Year, darling.
Hi, folks. What you standing out there for? Come on in.
Hey, what is this?
Well, it's our house, all right.
Come on. Make yourself at home, folks.
Well, let's go in, darling. He says it's all right.
Oh, well, as long as we're invited.
There's a bar right in there. Help yourself.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
What's the celebration?
We're giving a surprise party to Nick and Nora.
Nick and Nora?
Sure. Don't you know Nick and Nora?
No, we don't.
Neither do I. But that's not going to spoil my fun. It's New Year's, so what's the odds? Go on in. Fake it. It's a cinch.
Oh, thanks for the tip.
Sure. Get in there and get some of that Napoleon brandy before it's all gone.
Dude. May I have this dance, Mrs. Charles?
Thank you, sir. You're a gent. Who are all these people?
Well, let's see. That looks like Moe Stone over there. He's a bookie. The fellow with him is a police captain. And I believe the gentleman in the loud suit runs a pool room. That fellow in a fireman's hat...
Never mind. I get the general idea.
Mrs. Charles, welcome home, madam.
Thank you.
How are you, Peters?
Never better, Mr. Charles. I'm sorry about the party, sir, but they forced their way in.
Yeah, knowing my friends, I can believe that.
Nick, I smell something burning.
Probably just the living room rug or...
If I may be allowed to suggest, sir, that's probably Mrs. Charles' aunt. She's been calling all day and very much annoyed. She wants you to come to dinner this evening, Mrs. Charles.
Oh, dear.
Goodbye, darling. See you next year.
She expects you, too, Mr. Charles.
Me? Aunt Catherine wants me to come to dinner?
Well, there must be some mistake. She couldn't want you, Nick. I'll take it in the bedroom, Peters. Nick, come with me.
If it's your Aunt Catherine, get out of it. No more family dinners. I wouldn't go through that again if you had twice as much money.
Hello?
Hello, Nora.
Who is this?
This is Selma.
Oh, hello, darling.
Darling? Aunt Catherine?
Shut up. It's my cousin Selma. How are you, Selma?
Nora, I had to call you. I wanted to make sure you were coming tonight.
Well, I'm afraid not, Selma. You see...
Nora, you've got to come. I'm in terrible trouble.
What?
Please, I can't tell you now, but you must come. I'm desperate. Oh, wait a minute.
Selma, put down that phone.
I won't. I'm speaking to Nora.
Hello?
I told you not to call anyone.
Hello, Selma.
Give me the phone. Hello, dear.
Hello, is this...
How are you, Nora? This is Aunt Catherine.
Well, what's the matter with Selma?
Oh, nothing at all, dear. You know Selma well enough not to pay too much attention to her. We'll see you tonight, Nora.
Well, you see, it's New Year's Eve, Aunt Catherine.
The old battle axe.
Shut up.
What?
Excuse me, Aunt Catherine. I was talking to the dog.
Oh. We'll expect you at 7:30.
All right, Aunt Catherine. We'll come. Goodbye.
What did you say?
I said we'd be over for dinner.
Oh, my own wife.
I'm sorry, Nicky, but I had to do it. It's Selma. She's in trouble. You like Selma, don't you?
Not as much as that.
But she sounded so funny, as if she'd been crying.
Living with your Aunt Catherine, I can't say I blame her.
Sit down.
Selma, stop that crying. Do you want the servants to hear?
I don't care, Aunt Catherine. I'm going crazy. I can't stand it any longer. I'm going to call the police.
You'll do nothing of the sort. Haven't we paid out enough to hush up his other scandals?
He never did anything like this before. How do we know but what he may be dead?
I told you I'd handle this.
I can't go on this way. Rob is my husband.
Be quiet. Yes, Henry?
Beg pardon, madam, but shall I set a place for Mr. Robert tonight?
Certainly. Mr. Robert will be here.
Very good, madam.
No, he won't be here, Aunt Catherine.
I know nothing of the sort. Now go upstairs and make yourself presentable.
When Nora comes, I'm going to tell her.
You will not tell her. I will not have that husband of hers snooping into our family affairs.
I don't care. He can help us. I'm going to tell him the whole story.
Nick.
Huh?
Aunt Catherine wants to speak to you.
What did I do now? Use the wrong fork?
Nick, listen. Do you know why Robert wasn't here tonight?
Sure, because he's smart.
I'm not fooling. He's disappeared.
That's swell. Now, if we could only get rid of Aunt Catherine, we'd be all set.
Come on. She's in the library with Selma. Here he is, Aunt Catherine.
Oh, Nicholas, I'm sorry to take you away from the family.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, it's quite all right. Well, what's all this about, Selma? How long has Robert been gone?
3 days. 3 days without a word.
You notified the police?
Certainly not, and we're not going to.
Oh, no. Robert may be kidnapped. He may be lying dead somewhere, but we mustn't do anything about it. Our precious name might get in the paper.
Oh, don't pay any attention to her. She's exaggerating the whole affair. However, to please her, I thought you might investigate the matter quietly. With your experience as a
flatfoot?
Well, I didn't mean to be as blunt as that.
Why not? It's all in the family.
Selma, have you any idea where Robert might be?
No, but there's a woman mixed up in it. I know it.
Selma, you know nothing of the sort.
What about the vanity case they sent me from that Chinese restaurant?
It was a stupid mistake on their part.
Mistake? Some woman left it. He was there with some woman.
Selma, you know that Robert worships you.
How can you say that? You know he hates me. He only married me for my money. He never did love me. Sometimes I wish he were dead.
Well, I'm a little confused. Tell me, Selma, do you want him back or don't you?
Of course she wants him back.
Don't, Selma. Please
come, Selma. I'll take you up to your room. Dr. Keller will be here in a moment. He'll give you something for your nerves. Excuse me. Nora? Nicholas? Well, Nick, what do you think about it?
I'm not thinking at all. What are you getting me into? There are lots of detectives in this town, men who need the job.
But no one as good as you, Nicky.
Yeah, that won't get you a thing. I've retired.
But this is different. This is for Selma. You will help find Robert, won't you?
Why? I didn't lose him.
It's your chance, Nick. It'll get you in right with the family.
That's just what I'm afraid of.
Nicky.
Get your hat, darling. We're going to get out of here while we still got the chance. Well, where's it going to be? It's still New Year's Eve. We ought to go someplace.
All right, let's go look for Robert.
Now, listen, my sweet.
Hello, Nick. Hello,
Nora. Oh, hiya, David.
David, how nice to see you. What are you standing out here for?
Oh, they don't let me in the house anymore. Selma said she'd try and meet me later.
I'm afraid she won't be able to make it. Did you know that Robert had disappeared?
If he has, it's the only decent thing he's ever done.
What's he been up to lately, David?
The last thing he pulled on me was a couple of days ago. Called up and said that if I'd give him $25,000, he'd go away and leave Selma to me.
Lovely boy.
What did you say?
I asked him to give me a couple of days to think it over. You know, $25,000 would be cheap if he'd really go.
Why don't you take up a collection? There are a lot of people who'd like to contribute.
Tell me, did you see Selma? How is she?
I'm terribly worried about her.
I know, I am too.
Come on, David. We're going to go someplace and get the taste of respectability out of our mouths.
Thanks, but I couldn't.
Oh, David, why not?
I've got too much on my mind. Well, I'm glad you're back anyway. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Selma was a fool not to have married him instead of Robert.
We can't all be as lucky as you, darling. Well, where are we going?
How do you feel about some Chinese food?
Awful.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Because we're going to that Chinese restaurant that sent the compact to Selma, the Lai Chi. Please, darling.
Now, see here. I'm not looking for Robert.
Of course you're not. I am.
Hey, Marge.
Yeah?
Fella here wants a table.
Well, tell him we're all filled up.
I did. He says to tell you his name is Nick Charles.
Nick Charles? Where is he?
Over by the door. This is more like it.
You must feel right at home in a place like this. Too bad we didn't bring Aunt Catherine.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hello, dancer. Tell me, haven't any tables?
Oh, I guess I can find one, seeing as it's you.
You just slumming?
That's all, Lancer. Why?
Just wanted to make sure. I don't like business calls on New Year's.
Oh, say, I want you to be my partner. Hey, Lumkey, come here.
Yes?
I want you to meet a friend of mine, Lumkey. This is Nick Charles.
And Mrs. Charles.
Oh, I'm your friend. You bet you.
You sent his brother up, Nick. Lum Ying. Remember?
Oh, yes, yes. He's the one who spread a tong war out to include sticking up a bank.
Oh, you bet you. You catch him, my baller. You play trick on him.
Don't play trick on him or catch him, you bet you. He's still in jail?
Oh, you bet you. 4 or 5 years more. Goodbye. Have a nice time, please.
Is he a tong man, too, Mr. Dancer?
No, but you never can tell how close brothers are. I thought you might like to know, Nick.
Thanks.
He's a good guy to have liking you. Oh, there's a table over there by the wall.
This way, Mrs. Charles.
Nicky, there's Robert.
I know, I saw him before.
Why didn't you tell me? Robert.
Oh, hello.
Good evening, Robert. Happy New Year.
Is it?
Robert, what are you doing in a place like this? We just saw Selma, Robert.
Yeah?
She's terribly worried about you. Don't you think you'd better go home?
Sure, I'll go home. When I feel like it, and not before.
Robert!
No, let him go.
You got your table, Nick. Oh, is that fellow a friend of yours?
On the contrary, he's a relation.
He's been hanging around here drunk for 3 days. He's got a case on our prima donna.
I wish you'd toss him out. His wife is going crazy.
Oh, that's too bad. I'll speak to his girlfriend.
Well, I've done my duty.
Hey, Polly, come here.
What's up, Dancer?
Now, listen, that boyfriend of yours is pretty drunk.
So what? I thought that was the idea, keep him happy.
Sure, but a couple of his relations just blew in.
Relations? What do we do?
Well, give the customers one more song and a knockoff for the night and take him out of here.
Okay, but I'm getting sick of that guy.
Oh, it'll just be tomorrow, honey, and then he can turn him loose.
Tomorrow's a holiday. The banks will be closed.
That's right. Well, then the next day. Ah, what's the difference? Ain't it worth it?
I guess so.
That's the girl. I'll make it snappy, Polly. I'll keep an eye on him.
Hey, Polly.
Yeah, what?
I got a message for you.
What is it?
Your brother's looking for you.
My brother? Where is he?
In your dressing room. He wants to see you right away.
Hello, Polly. What's the matter? You don't look so happy to see me.
Please, Phil, don't try to start anything. I'm in a hurry.
You've been in a hurry ever since I got back.
Can I help it if I got to work?
That's not what I'm kicking about. What's going on with this drunk Robert Landis?
Nothing.
Oh, no? Then what's this check doing on your dressing table?
Give me that.
A check made out to you, signed by Robert Landis.
Get out of here. What are you
doing? Shut up or I'll smack you right in the teeth. I'm in on this, you know.
Phil, please.
If you don't cut me in, the party's off.
I can't cut you in.
The check's yours, ain't it?
Yes, but...
But what? But what?
Let me go. Let me...
Sure.
Go.
But this is just to remind you that I'm in on the deal.
You big lug. Look what you've done to my face. How am I going to explain that?
There's a lot of things you'll have to explain before I'm through. You and Dancer are taking this Landis guy for plenty of dough, aren't you?
What about it?
How much? Come on, how much?
$25,000.
Did you get it yet?
No.
Go ahead, spill it.
Some friend of his wife's is putting it up to get him to leave her alone.
So you're going to keep him drunk and then collect it for him. When?
I don't know.
When, I said?
Tomorrow night.
Okay. I'll be around the next morning. Early.
What are you doing here?
Hiya, Dancer. Just leave him. So long, Polly.
What did that heel want?
Nothing. It's okay, Dancer.
Now listen, there's a switch in the plans. I just heard that dough is being handed over tonight.
Tonight?
That David guy is meeting Landis in front of his house. Now you better be with Landis, see?
I'll be there.
I told Nick that you were taking Landis home. Now make sure they see you as you go out.
Sure.
And when the dough's delivered, you know what to do. I'll be across the street just in case something goes wrong. Now get going. And no slip-ups.
Robert got home.
Oh, come on. There must be a phone in Dancer's office. He won't mind. Hello, Dancer. Come in.
What are you doing in this office?
Just calling a number. Any objections?
Once a gum heel, always a gum heel. I don't like gum heels. And I thought you'd quit it when you married a pot of money.
Did he call me a pot?
I don't like to be critical, Dancer. But you know, it doesn't look quite right when you and your partner and your prima donna and your best customer all go out at the same time. It gives the place a sort of a vacant look.
Have you ever been thrown out of a place, Mr. Charles? How many places was it up to yesterday, Mrs. Charles?
How many places have you been in, Mr. Charles?
Hello? Aunt Catherine? This is Nick. Nicholas. What? When? I see. Yes, I will. Bye. But if you're throwing here, you can beat it.
What's the matter, Nick? Bad news?
Gentry, you'd better...
Ah, Polly, come in. Another of our travelers has returned. Now, if only Lum Key... No sooner said than done.
Oh, someone call me?
Quite a gathering of the clan, isn't it? I wonder which one of you would be most surprised if Robert Landis walked in now. You know there's no chance of that, don't you? All of you.
Now, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, get out of here.
What is it, Nick? What's happened?
Robert's been killed.
Killed?
He was killed on the front steps of your aunt's house. Police are questioning Selma.
What's that got to do with us? Go on, get out.
You said that before, Dancer, and it's foolish. I'm not going to get out. On the contrary, we're going to have a lot more people in.
Listen, you...
Hello. Nick Charles speaking. I want to get hold of Lieutenant Abrams, the homicide squad.
Why are you calling him? It's a cinch none of us shot Landis.
That's so. Well, then maybe you'd like to explain how you knew he was shot.
The curtain falls on Act One of After the Thin Man with Myrna Loy and William Powell. During this short intermission before Mr. DeMille presents Act Two, we introduce a very charming guest. Strike up the band, Lou. That music, ladies and gentlemen, welcomes a real Southern belle, Miss Mary Nell Porter from Memphis, Tennessee. In private life, she's a debutante, but this spring she's touring the country in a very important role as Maid of Cotton, representing our huge cotton industry. We're certainly delighted to welcome you to the Lux Radio Theater, Miss Porter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rourke. I'm so glad to be here.
I hear that you've been doing quite a little flying the last 3 months.
I certainly have. Over 12,000 miles.
And on top of that, I understand that you've had a staggering schedule of fashion shows and radio speeches and personal appearances in 30 different cities.
It has been a very interesting experience, and I've enjoyed meeting so many nice people all over the country. We've had such large crowds at all our cotton fashion shows.
Well, I'm sure the women want to hear about that.
And I'd love to talk about it. You know, cotton is terribly smart this year for play suits and street dresses and evening frocks.
Now here, just a minute, please. How about giving us some details?
Well, there's a very good-looking red and white striped daytime dress with big sleeves and has a very full skirt with the cutest Dutch boy pockets. I wear it with blue shoes.
That sounds very patriotic.
It surely is. Red, white, and blue is awfully fashionable this year. A lot of the dresses on our show are patriotic.
I see where the stripes fit in, then.
Well, they're smart, too, and so are flower prints. My bathing suit has tropical flowers scattered all over it.
Oh, so cotton goes swimming.
I should say it does. And dancing, too. You should see one evening dress in our fashion show. It's a brilliant red muslin with large white Hawaiian flowers all over it.
Straight from the South Seas.
Well, straight from a storybook. It has the sweetest puff sleeves and a long basque bodice.
Well, tell me, is cotton all glamour?
Goodness, no. It's simply wonderful for wearing in town, too. Things like gingham or pique or seersucker make beautifully tailored suits. They're cool as can be and awfully easy to take care of.
Miss Porter, don't you find it hard to keep all these lovely cottons fresh on your trip?
Not at all. You see, the whole wardrobe is luxable, even some of my shoes and bags.
That makes things easy, doesn't it?
I should say so. Why, new Quick Lux Flakes are simply wonderful. They take such beautiful care of all the lovely new cottons. You know, everything safe in water is safe in Lux.
Ladies, please note, this year's smart cottons are really fine fabrics, and they must be treated gently, just like washable silks, rayons, and woolens. New Quick Lux is so mild, it keeps them new-looking longer.
That's why we use it for everything in our cotton show.
Well, we've certainly enjoyed having you with us tonight, Miss Porter.
Thank you so much. I'm mighty glad to meet you all.
Well, good night, and good luck on your trip home.
Thank you. Good night.
Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of After the Thin Man, starring William Powell as Nick Charles and Myrna Loy as Nora. It's 2 hours later. With mystery shrouding the death of Robert Landis, The police have been questioning Selma, who discovered the body. Now the grilling is over, and her nerves are worn to the breaking point.
They're going to arrest me. They're going to arrest me, Nora.
No, no, of course they're not.
They all believe I did it. Aunt Catherine, everyone.
They don't, Selma. They don't think that at all.
I know. I heard them.
Now, darling.
But I didn't kill him, Nora. I didn't. I'm sure I didn't. I couldn't have.
What? What do you mean?
Nora, you'll help me, won't you?
Tell me what happened. Everything.
He came to the house at midnight to get his things. He said he was leaving me. I tried to stop him. He pushed me away and went down the stairs. I followed him to the front door. While he was letting himself out, I went to the library table. There was a gun there.
A gun, Selma?
I didn't mean to use it. I only wanted to frighten him, to make him come back and listen to me.
All right. Go on.
I went to the door. He was standing on the steps looking up and down the street. And then there was a shot, and he fell.
Where did the shot come from?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, darling. Never mind. You've been through enough. You'd better lie down now and rest.
I can't. I can't rest. I've got to think. Nora.
Yes?
David.
What about David?
He thinks I'm guilty, too. He thinks I killed Robert.
Selma, how could...
He must think so, or he wouldn't have taken...
He wouldn't have taken what?
Nothing. But he mustn't think that. I couldn't bear it. You must tell him. Tell him I didn't do it.
Couldn't you tell
him? No, no, somebody might be listening. You go to him. Tell him. Hurry!
Who is it?
It's me, Nora.
Hello, Nora. This is a surprise. Come in.
I got over as soon as I could, David. Selma
said
that...
Is there anything wrong?
Well, you mean you don't know?
Know what? What's happened?
Well, Robert's been killed.
Killed? That's impossible.
What do you mean?
I saw him only a little while ago.
How long ago?
About 10 o'clock. I met him in front of the house and gave him $25,000 in bonds.
Wait a minute. This is too much for me. Where did he go then?
He went inside the house to get his things.
Oh, then it was when he came out again that he was shot.
I've got to see Selma. Will you come with me?
Come on.
No, no, you don't. Stay right where you are, the both of you.
What is this? Who are you?
Detective Malloy, Homicide Squad. We've had our eye on you, buddy. Trying to make a getaway, huh?
Are you crazy? Listen, someone's been kidding you, officer.
Sure. Maybe you were kidding, too, when you were seen throwing that gun into the river.
David!
It's all right. There's been a mistake. Tell Selma, will you?
All right.
Come here, sister. You're not telling anybody anything. You're going along with us.
Where?
Down to headquarters.
Oh. Oh, you don't understand. I'm Mrs. Nick Charles.
Oh, yeah? And I'm Mother Goose. Come on, step on it.
Hello, Nick.
Yes?
This is Abrams down at headquarters.
Oh, hi.
Say, Nick, we picked up a woman a few minutes ago in David Graham's apartment. She claims she's your wife.
My wife?
Yeah. Says her name's Nora. What about it, Nick?
Nora. Oh, sounds like a phony to me. You better put her in the jug till I get down there.
You're the doctor, Nick. In the jug she goes.
Right down here, Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Matron.
Nick, here I am, over here.
Well, hello. Fine way to start the new year, getting thrown in the can.
Nicky, get me out of here.
How long has this thing with David been going on?
Oh, Nick, stop that and get me out of here. I've got something to tell you.
About the case?
Yes.
Oh, no. I'll get you out on one condition. No more cases. No more detecting. Promise?
But this is important.
You want me to let her out, Mr. Charles?
Definitely not.
Nicky, please.
Well, promise?
I promise.
All right, let her out, Matron.
Nick, have you been working on the case?
I've been giving it my undivided attention.
What have you found out?
Nothing.
Oh, Nick.
The only new development is that Polly has a brother. Where, we don't know.
What about her and Dancer and Lum Key?
All in the neighborhood at the time of the shooting. We've established that, but we can't prove a thing.
But, Nick, somebody killed him.
Yes, I think that's been proved.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes?
Lieutenant Abrams wants you for questioning.
Questioning? Nicky, they don't think I'm mixed up in this.
Don't worry, darling. If they find you guilty, I'll write you every day.
This way, please.
Nicky!
Now, tell me, Mr. Graham, were you and Robert Landis on good terms?
Decidedly not.
On bad terms, Mr. Graham?
Very bad.
You and Mrs. Landis were once engaged, weren't you? Until Landis came along?
Yes.
Ever ask her to divorce him and marry you?
I may have. But she never said she would.
But you hoped she would. And you thought that with him out of the way, she might.
I didn't kill Robert.
No, of course not. But you did pay him to go away.
Yes.
Lieutenant Abrams, my wife.
Oh, come on in. I got to ask her some questions, Mr. Charles. I'm sorry.
Quite all right. Go ahead.
Now, Mrs. Charles, why did you go to Mr. Graham's apartment?
Maybe I'd better leave.
No. Selma had a silly idea that David thought she killed Robert. She wanted me to tell him that she didn't.
Why, I can't imagine how she could think a thing like that. It's ridiculous. I haven't seen her for a couple of days.
Here's Mrs. Landis, boss.
No, will you come in, Mrs. Landis?
David, oh, I didn't want you dragged into this.
Oh, no, it's all right, dear.
Mrs. Landis, why did Mr. Graham think you killed your husband?
I never said that. I never thought it for one minute.
Don't, David. He had every right to think I did it. He's just trying to protect me. He heard a shot. He rushed up to me and saw me standing near Robert with a gun in my hand. But I didn't fire the shot. It came from the street.
You mean you didn't kill him?
No, look at the gun, David. It hasn't been fired.
Oh, Selma, forgive me.
Oh, of course I forgive you.
Well, that's all cleared up. Go on, Nora.
It isn't cleared up as far as I'm concerned. I've got to have something more than that. Where's that gun, Mrs. Landis? I've got to see that gun.
Well, I haven't got it.
What?
Well, David took it from me. David, where's the gun? What is it, David?
Selma, I thought you were guilty. I thought I was doing the only thing. I threw it away.
You threw it away?
I threw it into the river.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Well, they can get it. I'll show them where I threw it. I'll get divers to go down after it. They'll find it. They must.
Bowie, she don't want that gun back any more than you do. Hey, Mac, swear out a warrant for the arrest of Mrs. Robert Landis on suspicion of murder.
Nicky, are you awake?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were. Did you say something about scrambled eggs?
No, I didn't. I suppose that means you'd like me to get up and fix some for you.
Oh, no, I don't care about them.
Sure?
Really?
Good. Good night.
Good night. After all, if I want scrambled eggs, I can get them for myself. Of course, I'm not as good a cook as you are, but... Oh, well, don't bother about me. You go on sleeping. I love to watch you sleep. You look so cute. Nicky, have you any pictures of yourself taken as a baby?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. I wanted to see what you looked like.
I'll have one taken in the morning.
Poor Selma. Poor David. Nicky, can you reach the water?
Huh? Oh. Yes, I suppose so. Yes.
Oh, I didn't want it. I just wanted to be sure you could reach it.
Nora, please go to sleep.
I can't. I keep thinking of Selma down in that jail.
Darling, there's nothing to worry about. Tomorrow they'll find the gun. It won't have been fired. Selma will be free.
Then you don't think she did it?
For the 10th time, no.
You're not saying that just to make me happy. You really mean it?
Yeah, I mean it.
Of course, you're right. She didn't do it. She couldn't have done it. I don't think I'd kill you if you ran off with another woman.
Thank you, darling.
I might, though.
Nora, don't be morbid. Go to sleep. What in the name of...
Nick, the window.
Keep her head down.
Nick, somebody smashed the window.
No, really?
Look, there's a rock with a note attached to it. Nicky, a note.
Let's see.
What is it, Nick? What does it say?
Silly little woman. I told her to stop writing to me.
Oh, darling. Please, read it.
Mr. Nick Charles, if you want to know something about the murder of Robert Landis, get a line on Phil Burns, the guy Polly says is her brother. He's an ex-con and was married to Polly in Topeka, Kansas, 3 years ago.
Married 3 years ago?
What are we supposed to do? Send him an anniversary present? Look at the way this fellow spells Topeka. T-O-P-E-K-E-R.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing, darling. Good night.
Oh, Nick, you can't go back to sleep now. Phone Abrams.
What, and have him here, keeping us up all night?
Well, don't you see? If Phil is her husband, then he shot Robert because he found out about him and Polly. Oh, Nicky, you've got to call him.
Just as you say. You hand me the phone.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Everything's working out beautifully. All we have to do is find this fellow Phil Burns, and we've got the murderer. Here, darling, call him and tell... Now, who can that be?
Oh?
Hello, Nick. This is Abrams.
Oh, I was just going to call you.
Yeah? Well, maybe you better get down here. You know that guy, Phil Burns, Polly's brother?
Yeah, what about him?
We traced him to his hotel.
You find him?
Yeah, but somebody else found him first. He's been murdered.
he is. That's the way we found him, Nick. Dead for 2 hours at least. Strangled.
Yeah. Looks like he was beaten up a bit before the strangling set in. Any fingerprints?
All over the place. We're checking on him now.
What else did you find?
Nah, nothing much. He had a .38 in his drawer, 6 bullets in it, and a little dough. Oh, yeah, and this key. I guess it's the key to Polly's apartment. It's got her number stamped on it.
Another good guess would be that Solomon Landis didn't do this.
Fair enough. But he wasn't killed the way Landis was, either.
Might be a good idea to check the chambers on that .38. He might have fired it and slipped in a new shell.
Okay. Anything else on your mind?
Yes. That key to Polly's apartment. Could I borrow that for an hour?
Sure. Here.
Maybe you better give me a skeleton key, too, just for good measure.
Okay. What are you looking for?
I have the faintest idea. Just a hunch. Call you later.
Okay.
Nick, what did you find in there?
Dead man.
Is that all?
Isn't that enough?
Where are we going now?
Well, I don't know about you. I'm going to visit Polly Burns.
At this time of night? Without a chaperone?
Nora, this is purely business.
For me, too. Come on, darling. She's not home. Miss Burns keeps late hours, doesn't she?
Mm.
Nick, where'd you get that key?
From Abrams. It was in Phil Burns' pocket.
Oh, it's good you had an answer for that.
Go on in. Be quiet.
Here's a light switch.
You turn it on?
What do you expect to find in here?
I don't know.
Well, how do I know what to look for?
Don't look for anything. Go over there and sit down.
Suppose she comes in. What do we do?
Tell her it's a surprise party.
Anything in the drawers?
Hey, give me a chance.
Nick, what do you suppose people want a hole in the ceiling?
They don't.
Some people do. Look up there.
Where?
Up there. See, in the corner. A little hole in the plaster. What could that mean?
Well, it might mean that the ceiling's falling down. Or it might...
What?
What's the number of this apartment?
3D.
I wonder who lives in apartment 4D. Let's go upstairs and find out.
Here it is. 4D. This is right over Polly Burns' apartment.
What's the name on the bell?
Anderson. Say, where did you dig up all these keys?
We're going to visit Mr. Anderson.
Or Miss Anderson. It doesn't say which. Anybody home?
Put on the light. Let's see. That hole in the ceiling downstairs was right under this corner. If I'm right, these floorboards ought to be loose. Uh-oh.
I get it. Somebody took this apartment so they could see what went on downstairs.
Exactly.
Look through the hole, Nicky. What do you see? Well?
That's funny.
What is it?
I can't see anything. It's... The hole's been plugged up from the other side.
What? But how...
There's somebody down there now. Somebody who knows about this peephole. Whoever it is plugged it up while we were coming upstairs.
Nick!
You stay here.
No, Nick, it may be the murderer. Nicky, wait!
I've got to see who it is.
Listen, whoever it is just left. I can hear him going downstairs. Nick, let him go.
Now, we better catch him before he gets to the street.
Nick, wait for me. Well, did you see who it was?
No. He went through that door at the end of the hall.
That must go to the cellar.
Wait here and don't move.
Nick, be careful. It's black as pitch down there.
Right back, darling. Would you like to come on upstairs? Or I'll have to come and get you. All right. Have it your way. Come on, I can see you over there. Come on out or I'll...
Nick! Nick, are you all right?
I'm okay. Come on down.
I can't see. Nicky, did he get you?
No, but I didn't get him either. He got out through a window over there.
Oh, darling. I was so scared. Where are you? Oh, put your arms around me, darling. Are you sure you're all right? Oh, Nicky, you're bleeding.
What are you talking about? I'm not bleeding.
Nick, where are you?
I'm here.
Well, then who's this man over here?
You have just heard Act Two of After the Thin Man with William Powell and Myrna Loy. During this brief intermission before Mr. DeMille presents Act Three, we bring you another story about Mary.
She's washing dishes. Oh, boy, is she mad. I say, look at her hands. They're all red. And coarse. Here, let's see your soap, Mary. Oh, it's harsh. And soap that's harsh pecks away at your hands. No wonder they're red and rough. Here's a friendly tip.
Try New Quick Lux. It's so kind to your hands. So mild, so pure. I want you to hear about our one-hand test of five dishwashing soaps, including Lux. Now, here's the story in the words of one of the women who took the test, Mrs. Hugh Rennie of New York. She says,
for 20 minutes, three times a day, that's just about the time I spend doing my own dishes, I dip one hand in Lux suds and the other in suds from another soap.
Mrs. Rennie took that test for several weeks under conditions similar to home dishwashing. She goes on to say,
at the end of the test, my Lux hand was still nice and smooth, while the other hand was coarse and red. I hadn't realized there was such a difference in dishwashing soaps. I'll never use anything but Lux.
Hundreds of women took that one-hand test with similar results. It proved Lux kindest to hands. Try it yourself and see. Ask for the generous large box of New Quick Lux tomorrow and use it for dishes every day. It's so thrifty. Even in hard water, it gives more suds, ounce for ounce, than any of 10 other leading soaps tested. It's fast, too, yet it costs you no more. Remember, New Quick Lux in the same familiar box. We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Curtain rises on Act Three of After the Thin Man. In the thick blackness of the cellar, Nora has bumped into a man she thought was Nick. Now she discovers her mistake, and Nick rushes to her side. With quick, tense fingers, he strikes a match. There, in the wavering light, a man stands, propped against the wall. As they stare at his gleaming white face, he slumps to the floor at their feet.
Nick!
All right, take it easy.
What's the matter with him? Is he...
Yeah. He's dead. Shot.
But when was he? I've seen that man before.
You know him? Who is he?
Light another match. Quick.
Well?
Of course I know him. His name is Pedro Dominguez. He used to be my father's gardener about 6 years ago.
Your father's gardener? Well, that does a lot of good. Come on, we better call Abrams. What'd you find out, Lieutenant?
Was I right about his name?
Yes, you were, Mrs. Charles. Pedro Dominguez. But he wasn't a gardener anymore. He was janitor of this building. Probably shot about 5 hours before you found him. But here's a very funny thing.
Go ahead, we could stand a laugh right now.
The telephone company tells us that about 11:30 last night, that'd be just before he was shot, someone here called up information and asked for Nick Charles' number.
Our number? What would Pedro Dominguez be calling Nick for?
I don't know. Do you, Nick?
I can't imagine. I haven't even heard his name for 6 years.
Did you remember him when you saw his face?
No.
That's funny, seeing he used to be Mrs. Charles' gardener.
Who remembers a gardener unless he squirts a hose at you?
Did you recognize him right away, Mrs. Charles?
I had to look twice. He's a lot grayer than he used to be.
And by the way, what did you find out about the person in the apartment over Polly Burns?
Not a thing. Not a fingerprint in the place. Not a stitch of clothes. Only a hunk of lead pipe and a ladder.
Piece of lead pipe and a ladder. Well, that's interesting. Anything in Pedro's books?
No, just that someone named Anderson took the apartment a week ago, paid cash in advance.
Mm, that's all, huh?
That's all. And the name is Anderson. No front name. No Mr., Mrs., or Miss.
That's just dandy. You know, I got a feeling that if we could just find out who took that room, we might have our murderer.
Well, what do you think we ought to do?
Get them all together in the Anderson apartment. Everyone that's mixed up in this. Let's shake them all up and see what happens.
You're on.
Are you going to take the murderer tonight?
We're going to try.
How are you going to do it, Nicky?
I haven't the slightest idea. I'm just going to listen. Pray that somebody makes a slip. Just one slip.
Lieutenant, get them all here?
All set and waiting, Nick. Picked up Dancer and Lumkey at the Lychee. Polly was with them. Then there's that David Graham guy and your wife's cousin, Selma Landis.
Anyone else?
Yeah. A fat dame they call Aunt Catherine. I brought him along for luck.
Swell.
Oh, say, before you go in, I checked Phil Burns' apartment. Dancer's fingerprints were all over the joint.
Dancer's? You sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
You haven't told him, have you?
Not yet.
All right, don't.
What's your plan, Nick?
Build up a case against each other. Throw all we've got at them and throw it hard enough to bounce.
I'll make it bounce, all right.
And keep them talking.
Nick, come on. The party's getting dull.
Coming. Evening. Shut that door, please, Lieutenant.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you all down here because we've just found that another murder has been committed. He's a man I think you all know. Pedro Dominguez.
Pedro killed?
Yes. What do you know about it, Polly?
Nothing. I only saw him a couple of times when I went down to pay my rent.
What about you, Dancer? You're in and out of this apartment. You must have known him.
Sure, I know him. So what?
You, Lumkey?
I never been to this house before.
You knew him, Selma.
I? Well, no, I don't think
you
I...
You remember Selma. He was our gardener 6 years ago.
Oh.
David, you remember Pedro Dominguez?
Yes, vaguely. A man with long white mustaches.
What did you know about him, Mr. Graham?
Nothing. That was 6 years ago. I haven't seen him since.
Nicholas, I can't see what possible connection this can have with us.
It's very simple, Aunt Catherine. You see, Pedro and Robert were both shot with the same gun. Now, there was some monkey business going on we want to find out about. It seems that 1 week ago, Pedro rented an apartment to someone calling himself or herself Anderson. Did you ever see this Anderson, Polly?
No.
Did you ever hear anyone in the apartment just over you?
No.
I thought not. This Anderson intended to climb down into your apartment one night with the aid of a ladder and polish off Robert with this lead pipe. Then he was going to climb up to his place again and leave you holding the bag for Robert's murder. Now, do you know anyone who would be interested enough in you to do that?
Why, no.
You're Dancer's girl, aren't you?
I work for him.
That's not what he asked.
Well?
Did Dancer know that you were going away with Robert?
Why?
Come on. You told us before.
You said you'd keep that a secret. I'll never trust a cop again.
If you've made a dicker with the police, okay, Polly. But that ladder stuff's a lot of malarkey, Nick. No one did come down that ladder, and Landis wasn't killed in her place.
The only reason the murderer didn't kill him that way was because he was found out. Pedro came in yesterday to clean up Anderson's apartment and discover the loose boards on the floor. He didn't like the looks of things, so he put a new lock on the door. When Anderson came in, he found he was locked out. He heard Pedro telephoning me, and he killed him.
So what?
So, who is Anderson?
I'll bite. Who?
Polly, Phil had a key to your apartment, and Dancer had one.
Yeah.
Who else?
Nobody.
He's trying to hang this murder up on us to protect his own family. That Selma dame. She knocked her husband off. Everybody knows that.
I didn't.
You got your boyfriend, David, to throw away the gun.
That's a lie.
Now, just a minute, please. Look, Dancer, let's come clean. You and Polly and Lum Key were out to shake Robert Landis down for $25,000, right?
Oh, sure. Then I suppose I knock him off and stir up all this fuss before I get the dough. What kind of a stumble bum does that make me out to be?
You're the kind of a stumble bum that left your fingerprints all over the room when you killed Phil Burns.
Phil? Phil's dead?
Yes, strangled.
Well, I didn't do it.
Then why did you go to his place?
Because I thought he'd gummed up my game. I figured he'd try to stick up Landis and had to kill him. So I pushed him around a little to learn the manners. And when I left him, he had a split lip and a couple of dents in him. But he was just as much alive as you are, if that means anything.
Polly, who knew Phil was your husband?
What?
You were married, weren't you?
Yeah, but...
So Phil was your husband?
As if you didn't know.
I never knew till now. But I wish I had, Polly.
Didn't you ever tell anyone that you were married, Polly?
No.
Would Phil have told?
No.
Did you and Phil talk about it?
Yeah, one night last week. But no one could have heard. We were alone, down in my room.
Alone? Don't forget Anderson could hear everything that went on in your room. Lieutenant, when was Phil Burns killed?
Oh, about 2, near as we can figure.
At 3:30, Anderson threw this note in at my window.
He was beginning to use some of the information he'd gathered while he was up here. Dancer, how do you spell Topeka?
None of your business.
This note is a poor attempt at illiteracy. The easy words are spelt wrong and the tough ones right. Like to see it, Lumkey? It was meant just to steer me down to Phil's place to find his body. And your fingerprints, Dancer. Someone's framing you, Dancer.
Yeah?
You say you don't know this Pedro Lumkey?
No.
Well, I've got a picture of him right here. This picture was taken about 6 years ago when...
Nick, what is it?
Nothing. Except that all this time I've been waiting for someone to make a slip. And someone has made it.
Who?
We've been wrong. This wasn't a killing for money. It was a murder of hatred. Revenge. Polly, what did Phil go to the pen for?
Blackmail.
Blackmail. David, when were you supposed to give Robert the money to go away?
This morning.
In cash?
Yes.
But when he decided to go last night, you had to give him bonds.
Yes.
Where were you going to get cash on New Year's Day? A bank holiday.
Funny, I forgot about that.
No, you didn't, David. You never meant to give Robert that money. You didn't want him to go away. You wanted to kill him. You were going to get even with him for taking Selma away from you.
Nora, is he fooling?
Sure. And you were fooling when you said you hadn't seen Pedro for 6 years. You said Pedro had long white mustaches. Well, he's got long white mustaches now. But look at this picture. There he is 6 years ago. His mustache was neither white nor long. You didn't notice him 6 years ago any more than I did. You remember him as he was last night when you shot him. You killed him, and then you killed Robert. Phil saw you do it. He was going to blackmail you, so you had to kill him, too. And then you threw that note in my window, hoping to put me off your trail.
David, David, don't let him say these terrible things. Tell him it isn't true.
Ask him why he threw away your gun, Selma. He knew it hadn't been fired. He knew you only had to show it to prove your innocence. Yet he threw it away. Ask him why he did that.
David. David, why don't you speak?
Wasn't it because you hated her as much as Robert? Wasn't it because you wanted to get even with her, too? Wasn't it because you wanted to see her hang for Robert's murder?
David.
Tell her the truth now, David. You don't have to pretend anymore.
That is the truth. I've hated you, Selma and Robert, ever since you threw me over for him. I've been watching, waiting for the time when I could get even with you for having ruined my life. I did kill Robert, but not the way I wanted to. It was too easy, too quick. I wanted to see him suffer the way he'd made me suffer. And you, I wanted to see you go gradually madder and madder as the day came when you were going to hang. Well, I'm not going to see you hang, but I'm still going to see you die.
Put out that gun.
Don't be a fool, David.
Get out of the way. I've got 6 bullets. One for her and one for myself. And the rest for anyone who tries to stop me. Get out of the way, Charles. Go ahead. Get out of my way. I get him.
Okay, Graham. I'll take that gun now.
Nice work, Lumkey. Nice work.
Nick, he saved you. And you sent his brother up.
Oh, sure. Mr. Charles sent him up. Number one detective. I don't like my brother. I like his girl. I'm your friend. Oh, you bet you.
Tired, darling?
Not very.
Well, can you believe it? We're alone. No reporters, no friends, no surprises.
I suppose we really should decide where we're going.
Oh, do you care?
No, but I haven't any clothes.
All the better. You won't have to pack. All I need in the world is you and a toothbrush. Hey, what's that you're doing?
I'm knitting something.
Oh, you haven't gotten very far with it.
Yes, I have. There, it's done.
Done? Why, hey, that looks like... Is that a baby's sock?
And you call yourself a detective?
Why, Mrs. Charles. We draw the curtain on After the Thin Man. In a moment, Mr. DeMille returns with our stars. While we're waiting, let's talk about babies. You know, families often speculate on the chances of the stork bringing twins or triplets. Well,
here are some figures that may interest you. The chances of having twins is about 1 in 84. Of having triplets, 1 in 7,500. That makes triplets a pretty rare occurrence. Mrs. Frances Bardall of Holbrook, Massachusetts, was one of the mothers who drew the lucky number in 1939, and she's doubly lucky now because she has new Quick Lux to help her in caring for her three small babies. She says,
"The triplets have such sensitive skins, I wouldn't dream of washing their clothes in harsh soaps or rubbing them with cake soap. I just won't take chances on having woolens or diapers getting rough and scratchy."
She's a wise mother, isn't she? She goes on to say,
"New Quick Lux is so mild and gentle. It's the only thing I'd use for the baby's clothes. It's so safe for everything, safe in water alone. I can depend on it never to make woolens harsh and scratchy or fade the pretty colors of little dresses and sunsuits."
Yes, New Quick Lux is so wonderfully gentle. And so easy to use, too. So fast. In water as cool as your hand, it dissolves three times as fast as any of 10 other leading soaps tested. Ask for the generous big box of New Quick Lux tomorrow. It comes in the same familiar package and costs you no more. Here's Mr. DeMille with our stars.
As Bill Powell and Myrna Loy return to the microphone, we offer our congratulations to the Thin Man on some first-class detective work.
Cecil, you're seldom wrong, but I'll have to mark that one up against you. Hmm? However, if it's any consolation, everybody makes the same mistake.
Brace yourself for a shock, Mr. DeMille. Bill is not and never was the Thin Man.
He isn't. He never has been. Mercy, Myrna, can't we even believe what we see in the movies?
Just for the record, the Thin Man was murdered in the first Thin Man picture. We haven't seen him since.
Except in the title, where he seems amazingly healthy.
What's in a name? Call the picture by any name you like, so long as you and Bill remain as our favorite detectives. What's going to happen next to Nora and Nick?
Well, there's another Thin Man picture planned, but we haven't started making it yet.
It's called The Shadow of the Thin Man. Very promising manhunt.
Mm-hmm. I have entire confidence in both of you.
By the way, Cecil, didn't I hear you say that you're going to do Showboat next week?
You certainly did, Bill, and we are.
Who's going to be in your cast, Mr. DeMille?
We'll have Irene Dunne, Alan Jones, and Charles Winninger. They were all in the cast of the motion picture, and they'll all be here on this stage to bring us the exciting drama of Showboat and the great song hits by Jerome Kern. We embark at the usual time next Monday night for this cruise of adventure and romance along the Mississippi, and we hope you'll all be on board.
Showboat is practically a command to listen. Good night, Cecil.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. We'll call you two on another case soon. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Irene Dunne, Alan Jones, and Charles Winninger in Showboat. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Heard in tonight's play were Julie Bannon as Selma, Fred McKay as David, Edward Marr as Abrams, Mary Lou Simpson as Polly, Warren Ash as Dancer, Wally Mayer as Lum Key, and Arthur Q. Bryan, Abe Reynolds, Walter White, Inez Seabury, Tristan Coffin, Eric Snowden, Russell Fillmore, Lou Merrill, and Fred Shields. The American Red Cross needs millions of dollars for European war relief work. They're asking for your contribution now, anything you can give. The place to give, your local Red Cross chapter. The time, as soon as you possibly can. William Powell and Myrna Loy appeared tonight through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. They will soon be seen together on the screen in If I Love You Again. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Ruick. Columbia Broadcasting System.